I can only imagine my father trying to use the words hooked up in a conversation with me when I was 15. But maybe that's another thing. It's different times, and maybe we can talk differently now. I want to bring in Mark Green, who's senior editor of the Good Men Project, to talk with us for a few minutes about this. And, Mark, welcome to our program.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Now, the Good Men Project is known as a cerebral new media alternative to glossy men's magazines. You know those men's magazines in which you're reading an awful lot about six-pack abs and talking about women. So what's different about the Good Men Project and all that?
Well, the Good Men Project is, we call it the conversation no one else is having. But to take a very complex answer and make it short, we really feel strongly that men are suppressed in terms of the things they talk about and the things they think about. And when I say suppressed, I mean culturally we don't expect it of them, and we're not particularly comfortable when men tell their personal stories. And yet we find at the Good Men Project that there are millions of stories to be told, and that men are far more diverse and have far more emotional depth in terms of their experience of life. And given the opportunity, they'll tell those stories.
So how do we get them through that opportunity and get them to tell the stories? We've been talking about that all hour, essentially. It's important to say that men want to express their feelings and need to. But now, how do we do it, Mark? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's generational. It is a huge issue when boys are raised in such a way that they're not encouraged to share their feelings. They grow up to be men who, in turn, raise boys that way as well. But I think that something happened maybe 20, 30 years ago in the women's movement where we began to have dialogues culturally where it was we came to understand that we need to self-reflect and look at these ideas of self that we develop based not only on our families but on the culture and the context that we live in. And that has slowly migrated to the men's conversation now. And I think it's very important to understand that men feel huge amounts of internal pressure. Not all men, but a significant percentage of them feel this huge amount of internal pressure that they want to speak and they want to communicate, but they feel like it's not appropriate, it's not acceptable. So the Good Men Project is actually a very safe space for that because as an online experience, men can go there privately and begin to get a feeling for what it's like to communicate.
I want to quickly go to Paul, who's calling from Eastern Connecticut. Paul, go ahead. You're on Where We Live. Hi, Paul. Are you there? Paul's gone, but I want to put actually what I think Paul's question was to you, Mark, because we talked about this a bit earlier. Men grow up going through the early years of life in school with a lot of women in their lives. There are usually female teachers from pre-kindergarten through kindergarten, almost all the way through their schooling. A lot of young men don't see a male teacher until they get into high school. Do you think that this causes any sort of an issue? And do you think that more men getting into mentorship and educational relationships with kids earlier might help some of the things you're talking about?
I do. It seems to me that the only way that men connect with boys is in the context of sports. And often that sports relationship, boys are encouraged to perform masculinity in a way which is very typical, which is to be aggressive, which is to be confident, which is to win, win, win. I will say something about boys and emotional communication, and I think this is really central. I'm a stay-at-home father. I have spent many, many years in direct connection and contact with my son, and it is the small daily conversations which really transform a relationship and transform how my son or how any boy might view communicating their emotions. And to have a male model in your son's life who... And not all men can be there a significant amount of the time, but when you do have moments to drop in small conversations, those things thread together over time to create a dialogue that's very different than if you show up on the weekend and say, so, tell me about school or tell me about your biggest challenge, because kids don't really want to dive into that stuff immediately, but it can pop up and drop away and pop up and drop away on an ongoing basis, and that can be really transformational. As for schools and male teachers, I just want to say one thing about that, and that is that schools themselves are problematic. I have a lot of challenges with how they're structured, this whole idea of teaching to the test, mm-hmm. this whole idea of crowd control, all of those things that are done in schools. And unfortunately, teachers who may have wanted to enter teaching for the joy of teaching now find themselves trying to get the right scores and the right numbers from their classes, and that's about crowd control.
I just want to get a quick comment from Jennifer Fredericks.
Well, and I think one of the challenges not only are many boys not experiencing a man in school, they're not experiencing a man at home, and we're talking about many communities, especially kids going up in high-risk communities that aren't seeing the men. So I think we need to really do what we can to bring back.
Rosalind Wiseman, we have less than a minute left, but I'll just put this to you. Are there some differences there for what Jenny just called high-risk communities? I mean, are the ways that boys are acting, interacting, growing up different in different parts of our communities?
Well, sure, but I think that kids, as the other people saying, school can be so easily a place of disengagement. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I do so much is talk to female teachers, for example, about how to be able to talk to boys in ways that are engaging. I also just want to say, as a resource for people, because it's free, I have, besides Masterminds, I also wrote a book for boys called The Guide, Managing Douchebags, Recruiting Wingmen, and Attracting Who You Want. Because of boys being so reluctant, for all the reasons you talked about today, to ask for help. And this is something you can get on any e-reader platform like Amazon or Kindle or anything like that. And I also need to say that the Good Men's Project is doing extraordinary work. They are really shifting the conversation that we're having about boys and men in this country.
So if you want to learn more about Rosalind Wiseman, it's rosalindwiseman.com. She is going to be at Mandel JCC's 6th Annual Parenting Conference on Thursday, January 30th. Rosalind, thank you so much. I also want to thank Mark Green from the Good Men Project. You can find them at goodmenproject.com. Thank you, Mark. And thanks to Jenny Fredericks, whose book is coming out in March, 8 Myths of Student Disengagement. Thank you for your time. This is Where We Live.